share what we have learned with our family members, bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Christ, put what we learned in practice, so that we build each other up. By doing so, we build your church. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So you also have, every one of you have that, right? And that handout. And I divide this sermon into three main points. To build up the body of Christ is not the command of man, it's the command of God. And I remember when David get blessed by the Lord, and he looked down and see the one who blessed him, the dwelt in the tent that he made, is not in the mansion. And he wanted to build the temple of God. But it wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament that anyone should build the temple of God. So he didn't know whether this is the right thing to do. He seek for advice from Nathan. And Nathan, knowing that he is he's the man of God, and he also God is with him, so he said, go ahead and do it. And then on that very night, that evening, the Lord said to Nathan, tell David, I don't want him to build the temple. I want his son to build. But in here, as we read the book of Ephesians, we know that it is the Lord's command for us to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. And because Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, all my writing are the Lord's command. And also, according to Peter's teaching in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, Peter reminded us to remember what the prophet said. Also remember what the Lord commanded. That is what the apostle preached. So in other words, whatever we see there in the New Testament, and that's the writing, that's the preaching of the apostle. And the preaching of the apostle is the Lord's command. So when he wanted to build the church, I want you to remember. Could you help me to take it? Okay. Oh, wow. Double dosage. Main idea number one. To build up the body of Christ, you can go ahead and do it. And this is the command of Christ for everyone. Point number two, everyone must be equipped and prepared to build the body of Christ. As it is recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, I read that to you. In chapter 4, verse 11, it was Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. What is their task? Their task is to prepare God's people for work of service. And then in verse 16, so that every one of us is part of the body. We are the member of the body. We all have to build itself up as each part does its work. Everyone has to contribute. In order for us to contribute, we have to be equipped first. We have to be prepared first. In other words, if we want to fight a good fight, we need to be equipped. We need to be prepared in order to fight a good fight. The main idea number three, everyone must serve. Each part does its work so that the body of Christ will be grown up gradually. Each one serve with the gifts given to them. As far as the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and the pastor and teacher, they were equipped with the word of God. And as far as you are concerned, you are equipped with with the power, because God gave you the power, the talent, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, as it is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter 14. The one mystery is chapter 12, chapter 14 is in between in chapter 13. When we exercise the spiritual gift that God gave to us, we have to exercise the spiritual gift with love. If you don't exercise your gift with love, the body of Christ will not be built up. The body of Christ will be teared up. Okay? And then, now that we all know, we have to take part. We have to participate to build the body of Christ. So, I divide how to into two parts. Okay? How to build up the body of Christ into two parts. Part one is to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. I want you to write that down. And that is building the quality. Okay? Part one and part two, according to Paul's teaching, he's talking about the quality of the church, the quality of the body of Christ, not the quantity, the quality. Okay? According to his teaching, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Be completely humble and gentle, and bear with one another with love. Okay? And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When you exercise your gifts, you exercise your gifts with love, and then God will reward you with peace and with joy. Okay? So I divide the part one, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the quality of the church, the quality of the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith. In other words, what you believe is what I believe. What I believe is what you believe. So that if we don't believe in the same thing, we cannot work together. We cannot serve together. In order for us to walk together, we have to make sure that we all reach the unity of the faith. That's the quality of the body of Christ. You know what? We want to have a master production. But the thing is, the consumer is not going to purchase anything that's low quality. We want highest quality. The highest quality is the unity in the faith. And then, B, until we all wish unity in the body, until we all wish unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. We all know the Son of God. I want you to write that down right beside the knowledge of the Son of God. When people come to the church, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they don't know the Son of God, they don't believe in the Son of God, they still go to hell. Make sure that they come to the church, they are the citizen of the kingdom of God. Right beside the Son of God, right beside the Son of God, you write that down. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe in it, you have eternal life. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the Gospel of John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And believe that Jesus, not only the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God through his resurrection. By believing in these two, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, you may have life in Jesus Christ. Make sure we come to the church, we all reach unity in the faith, reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And then, until we all have become mature in Christ Jesus.
and walk with Christ Jesus. That's the highest quality, the body of Christ, that we can show. Okay? Now, I want to say that again. When Paul mentioned about the maturity of the church, he didn't talk about how many people. He didn't talk about the quantity. He talked about the quality. I say that one more time. If this church are built on quality, eventually the quantity will come. If you put emphasis in quantity at expense of quality, eventually it will break down. I want to talk about point number two. This is also the quality, how we build a quality of the body of Christ. To put off the old self and clothe with Christ Jesus. In other words, when people come to the church, they don't see John Lamb, they don't see Sally, they see Jesus Christ live within us. That's the highest quality. That's the highest maturity. When you speak like Jesus. When you talk like Jesus. When you have the gentleness, you have the gentleness like our Lord Jesus Christ. When people say, oh, you're a humble man, you're humble as Jesus. With humility, with righteousness, and with truth. And Jesus say, according to Psalm 45, you win every battle. Every battle. Wherever you go, you win the war. Righteousness, truth, and humility. So in other words, brother and sister, make sure we build the quality. If a good quality, eventually will come with quantity. I will go to 2a. No one be infant. Instead, we don't speak like an infant. We speak like a mature person. Okay? Mature enough. I read that to you. Verse 14, chapter 4, Ephesians. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the wave and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Make sure that we are no longer the infant. You know what you believe. And you stand fast. You stand firm. Okay? Make sure that we all speak the truth in love. Children, they don't know the truth. They just speak what is in their mind, what is in their heart. But we speak as a mature person. We speak the truth in love. Point number two, no longer live as the Gentile. Instead, we live like Christ. In true righteousness and holiness, as it is recorded in verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely we heard of Christ and were taught in Christ in according with the truth that is in Christ. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, but to be made new in the attitude of your mind and be put on the new self. Put on the new self, that means put on Christ Jesus. When people look at you, they see that Christ is in you. And that new self is created like God, in true righteousness and in true holiness. There are two kinds of righteousness. One is self-righteousness. There's two kinds of holiness. There's self-holiness and true holiness. and true righteousness is totally different ball game. Self-righteousness, you just put on yourself. It's a self-righteousness. True righteousness is when they see you, they see you are totally controlled by Jesus Christ. They look at you, they see Christ in you. Okay? So, no longer, point number three, no longer we talk, we act like the person who destroyed other people. Let us talk, let us act, so that we build other people up. And how do we do that? I want to mention about the one that who destroyed the church, starting chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said that, I tell you the truth, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. That's what the Lord want him to tell us. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in fidelity of their thinking. They don't have God's word within their heart. The Gentile doesn't have God's word within their heart. Say, Pastor John, how do you know the Gentile doesn't have God's word within their heart? I want you to turn to Psalm 147, verse 19 and 20. God has revealed his word to Jacob. God has revealed his law and decree to Israel. God has done this for no other nation. No other nation, you write that, the Gentile. The Gentile do not know his law. Only God's people, only the people of Israel, the people of Jacob, they know the truth. They know the word of God. But now, we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We were taught with the scripture. Now we know the truth. So no longer live a Gentile who doesn't know the word of the Lord. Those people who doesn't know the Lord, they think in futility. They don't think about God's word. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart, and having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. They put emphasis on how they feel, not put emphasis what God say. Paul say that we no longer live as Gentile, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And then Paul go on saying, this verse 17 to 19 is the poor quality of the church. And we have to get rid of that. And that quality will destroy the church. It's not building up the church. And then verse 29, same thing. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all member of one body. You tell falsehood to your neighbor, you try to hurt him. According to the book of Proverbs, you destroy his life, and God will destroy your life. God hates falsehood. Whatever you know, you tell the truth with gentleness and in love. You don't destroy your neighbor. You build up your neighbor. You love your neighbor as yourself. If someone tell lie to you and you get hurt, you don't like it, then don't do it to other people. Because we are all members of one body. He get hurt and you get hurt. Okay? And verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. The Bible did not say that you cannot be angry. In a few occasions, Jesus was angry when he see that the temple of God filled with a lot of people doing business, selling merchants, sheep, ox, exchanging money, and he was angry. The Bible didn't say that you cannot be angry. The Bible say that in your anger, do not sin. That is recorded in the Old Testament. It is not a poor imagination. It is written in the Old Testament. Turn to Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. In your anger, do not sin. So if you believe what Paul said, you believe in the Old Testament too. You don't believe in what Paul say. You have a disregard to what King David said in chapter 4, verse 4 of the book of Psalms. And Paul said that, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I want to turn to another apostle. Apostle James talked about the same thing. Apostle James, I read that to you. Verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Circle the word, slow to become angry. Not that you cannot be angry. You can be angry, but you are slow to be angry. If you are quick tempered, you're going to regret of what you have sown, because you will destroy the church. Slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Circle the word, the righteous life that God desires. That is true righteousness. That's true righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. That is true holiness. It's not self-holiness. Okay. Now keep going. Paul also mentioned in chapter 4, verse 26 again, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. What if I disobey this command? What happened? By doing so, you give the devil a foothold. Satan will enter into your heart while you are angry. Okay? So that's why in verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 28, he who has stealing must steal no longer. No longer stealing, but providing for those who are in need. But work and doing something useful with his own hand, according to the talents that God gave it to him, then he may have something to share with those in need. Instead of stealing, but we work hard so that we have something to share. That one is not the New Testament teaching. That is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not steal. Okay? Not only Paul, he didn't say, you don't steal, but you should work hard so that you can share with others what the Lord provide you through your diligent hand. Proverbs say that the diligent hand will rule over the sluggard, and sluggard will lead to poverty. So we work hard, we work diligently, just like what the Proverbs say, 22:29. Do you see a man's skill in his work? He worked very hard, he worked very diligently. He will serve before king. He will not serve before an obscure man. So that's the aim that we should aim. When people come to the church, they see these people are hardworking, diligent in his work, with the skill that God given to him, and exercise his part, and to build the church, to give to the church, then the church, then the Lord Jesus Christ will build your life. Verse 29, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. I want to circle the word. Any unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk is destroy the body of Christ. Wholesome talk build up the body of Christ. And you and I know that. I want you to write that down. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul said that because that is the Lord's command. Anyone who destroys the body of Christ, the Lord will destroy him. Anyone who build up the body of Christ, the Lord will build him up. Okay? Make sure you don't destroy your church by your unwholesome talk. Make sure you build up your church by what you say that build other people up. Comfort them, encourage them, help them to be a better person. Okay? To be a friend with him. I want to make sure your strong point may be able to be used by God to help other people to be strong like you. Okay? And you strengthen his faith. He may have another talent that you need that you don't have. And later on in life, he can help you. So you build other people up, just like what Paul say, and you yourself will be built up. I give you another illustration. I would like to encourage every brother and sister to start joining the fellowship. We have a group that you meet together. It's to build yourself up and to build other people up. A lot of people, they love to have fellowship. You know, in our McGrath Mansion, I found out that they have fellowship. You know why they have fellowship? Because they don't come to the church. They drinking fellowship, eating fellowship, right? Because people need other people. When you are weak, you need other people to help you up. We need fellowship. By building up the fellowship, eventually, God will build you up. All right? We all need fellowship, okay? I go on verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you say things that tear people down, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you steal, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you are angry until the next day and day after that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And you give the foothold to the devil. You let Satan to enter into your body. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That is not the New Testament teaching only. That is the Old Testament teaching. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul meant what he said. Same as the prophet Isaiah meant what he said. Don't do that. If you do that, the Lord will destroy you. Turn to Isaiah. Chapter 63, verse 10. Yet the Israelites rebel against the word of the Lord, disobey the word of the Lord, and grieve his Holy Spirit. So the Lord turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. We all want Jesus Christ to be our friend. We don't want Jesus Christ to be our enemy. We don't want to be the enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit move you to change your life. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by what you say and by what you do, because he will discipline you, because you destroy the church. When you destroy the church, God will destroy you, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Sometimes we don't know. We say things, that's what I like to say. You say it, and then you destroy the church. And the church was destroyed. So we better watch out what we say and be careful. Now I want to say one more thing. If you are mature, someone say wrong thing to you, you won't stumble. You write that down. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they who love the law of the Lord. Nothing will make them stumble. If you are not mature, someone say something, you just stumble right away. If you are mature, if you are built up with quality, you won't stumble. You overlook the offense. And according to the book of Proverbs, it is your honor to overlook the offense. So, because he says something that I get hurt, so I leave the church. That means you are still an infant. You are not a mature people. You overlook that. And the Bible says it is to your honor to overlook an offense. When he causes you to stumble, you don't stumble, you build him up. Then that's how you build the church. You build the church, the Lord is going to build your life. And then finally, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. I say that one more time. Do not talk like infant. Do not talk like baby. Do not spread the gossip, slander all around. Stop it from you when you hear that. Okay? You can spread around. You can spread around. Like Miriam and Anna have leprosy. Don't do that, okay? Verse 32, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. We need Jesus Christ to forgive all our sins. So you need to forgive other people. According to the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debt as we have forgiven the debt of other people. Just like Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 18, you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Don't say that, oh, that guy caused me to stumble. You are not infant anymore. You are mature. You can take that. Just like Jesus Christ, when he was hung on the cross, people say, if you are the Son of God, if you are loved by God, come down to prove that you are Son of God. Jesus Christ did not come down to prove that he's Son of God. He proved that he's Son of God, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, by his resurrection, according to the will of God. Great peace have they who love the law of the Lord, and nothing will make them stumble. Hide yourself with the word of God, so that you won't cause other people to stumble, nor you will be stumbled by other people because of what they say. You cannot stop them from saying that, but you can stop yourself from saying that. Everybody say, amen. Now, in conclusion, what do I get? What kind of benefit do I have if I obey the command of the Lord? And if I take part to build the body of Christ? Blessing number one, You are just like who? Just like King David, just like Apostle Paul. They are the one who get blessing. And then, number one, what kind of blessing you have? God will bless your house. Not only your house, He will bless you first of all, and then bless your children, and He will bless you forever. Because you build the church of God, God say, I'm going to build your life. You write that down. You write that down, point number one. God has blessed your house, and your house will be blessed forever. You write down First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 27. That's the blessing God gave it to. That's the blessing God gave it to King David. I want you to write that down. That's the same kind of blessing that God gave it to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, he's going to crown Paul with crown of righteousness. And Paul said that to us. He not only crowned me with crown of righteousness, because he's going to crown you with crown of righteousness. As long as you have the true righteousness, not the counterfeit righteousness, not self-righteousness, right? Point number two, God has promised to answer your prayer. And he will deliver what he promised to you. On top of that, according to Ephesians chapter 3, the powerful God will give you more than what you ask and imagine. Turn to chapter 3, verse 20. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Point number three. God will heal all your diseases and continue to give you a healthy body and give you a peaceful life. And you can enjoy to do the will of the Lord right now and enjoy the fruit of your hand when you see Jesus Christ face to face. Our Heavenly Father, we hear what you have said to us. We ask humbly before you that you hide your command within us, that we want to build your church until we see you face to face. We want to enter into the vineyard to build your church, not to destroy them. Anyone who destroys your church will inherit wind. Anyone who builds your church will inherit inheritance forever and ever. And we'll be blessed forever and ever. And our children will be blessed forever and ever. Lord, this is the kind of blessing we want to receive from you. We ask that you hear our prayer, listen to our cry for mercy for all those people who are involved in this sermon, and help your servant to deliver that, to put the PowerPoint. I pray, O Lord, that you remember the work of their hand. They are not tearing down the church. They are building up the church with their own time. And I pray, O Lord, that you remember them with favor. Just like Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 31. Remember them with favor. When they cry out to you, I pray that you hear their prayer and give them more they ask, more than what they ask of you. Because it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared and given to those who love him. Those people who helped your servant to build the church, I pray that you remember them. Remember the work of their hand. Bless them left, right, and center. Surround them with your mighty angel. When they are in trouble, when they bow down before you and cry to you for help and mercy, you show your mercy. Prove yourself faithful. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.